حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره. In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful. We talk about Tawheed in general, and then we focus on Tawheed in respect to Divine Essence, at Tawheed al-Dhati. Then, at Tawheed in respect to Divine Attributes, at Tawheed al-Sifat. And finally, we talked about at Tawheed in respect to Divine Acts. We said that nothing can happen in this world except that it is approved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, permitted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and more precisely, except that it is an act of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's more than just permitting. It is an act of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this does not contradict the fact that it can be also act of us or any other, you know, human being, or for example angels or whatsoever. To give you an example, how is it possible to have two agents for the same act? I can mention this example, that for example, suppose that a mayor of city, you know, when he gives report to the people, says that we have built this, for example, street or this access way or this park for you. So he says, as his report, me and my colleague have, you know, built this for you. But at the same time, it may be true that these people themselves never did any labor work. They may have given this contract to a company, a private company or whatsoever, and those people may have done that. And those people, owner of company, also may not have done any labor job. Maybe some just, you know, simple laborman, you know, did this. So you can attribute the same act to different people at different levels. It is true that you cannot attribute the same act to two agents at the same level, unless they have jointly done this, but not independently. Okay? But if there are different levels, it's possible. You say, this labor man has done this, this company has done this, this mayor has done this, the government has done this. Okay? So there can be different levels of involvement in some act. Whatever we do is also an act of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we, our being, our talents, our power, everything we have belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other example is when you open the door, you can see I unlocked the door by key. So the key unlocked the door. You can see, say my fingers unlock the door. You can say my hand, you can say my body, you can see, say myself. And if someone else asks you to do so, you can say that person unlocked the door. Okay? So there can be a hierarchy of agents. So this is very important, that when we say everything in this world is an act of Allah, it does not mean that other things are not responsible, other things are not influential. Because there was some idea among some Ash'arites, you know, some of Sunni theologians, not all of them, some, that they couldn't have these two together. They believed that everything is an act of Allah, then they denied causation, causality. So for example, when there is fire, and then the fire burns something, they said there is nothing between fire and that since being birth. Just this is a habit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when He wants to burn something, first He produces fire. But this fire has nothing to do with that birth. They say, Adatullah Jarat. It's just some habit. If there is rain, and then, for example, it becomes cold, they say there is no relation between raining and being cold. It's just Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's style of doing things. That He first does something, then does something else without being any relation between these two. But we do not accept this. We believe in causality. We believe that scientific explanation completely can work. Of course, science is not the only explanation. Sometimes there are also supernatural elements involved, so we need other sciences to explain. For example, when miracles are happening, there is causality, but instead of physical and material factors, we have supernatural factors. But the very important thing is that we believe in causality. We believe in order. We believe in regularity in the world. Okay? So, when we say everything is an act of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this does not contradict with any scientific or philosophical fact. Okay? Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established this world in the way that we can use our mind, our intellect, to find out the rules and laws so that we can better regulate our life. Okay, the second point which I just mentioned quickly, because I discussed yesterday, is that when we say everything is an act of Allah, this does not mean Allah is pleased with whatever we do. It may be an act of Allah, it may be permitted by Allah in generative sense, but at the same time it may be something that Allah is not pleased with. And you remember the example of having a small brother and giving money to buy some good stuff, but he may go and buy some harmful things. Okay? So this is about at-tawheed in respect to divine acts. Sometimes our ulama divide this type of tawheed into further subtypes. For example, they say sometimes we may have at-tawheed in respect to creatorship. What does it mean? At-tawheed fil-khaliqiyya. It means that the only creator in the world is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only one who can create something out of nothing. Okay? In Latin they call it ex nihilo. Ex nihilo means from nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can create everything without having any material, any physical, you know, mass, without having anything. Because our creation, so-called creation, is nothing more than giving some forms to something which already exists. For example, if I say I have created this table, I have not created this out of nothing. There have been some wood, some, you know, paints, some nails, and just I gave a new form to those things. Or when we create a house, or when an artist creates, for example, very beautiful, you know, painting or picture, this is not creation in its real sense. Of course, you can say this is creation, but this is creation in the sense of giving form to something which is already there. Okay? And in the Quran, the term khalq, which means creation, has been used in both ways. Sometimes meaning very generally any kind of creation, including just giving the forms, and sometimes it's in a real sense, in which it means that there has been nothing there, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings something to existence while there was nothing there. Okay? Even, you know, if you want to be more precise, you cannot say creation from nothing, because nothing is not anything. Even it's not from nothing. Okay? So, for example, in the case of Prophet Isa alayhi salam, you know, Prophet Isa alayhi salam, like other prophets, had miracles. And do you know what are the reason, or what is the main reason for having different miracles for different prophets? For example, the Prophet Musa alayhi salam had some miracles to defeat magicians. The Prophet Isa alayhi salam had some miracles to defeat physicians. And the Prophet Muhammad had many miracles, but the most important one was the Quran, and that defeated the most eloquent people of the earth. Arabs were very eloquent and poets. Do you know what is the reason that Allah gave different kinds of miracles to different prophets?
Is it because their time would be like that?
Mm-hmm. What was the situation in the time of Musa? In the time of Musa alayhi salam, magicians were very important people. Okay? They were top. You know, in every age, certain groups of people may be the most important people. And according to that, you can judge about the understanding of that people also. If you see that in a society, the learned people, the pious people, are the most important, so that society is good society, is healthy society. If you see in a society, people who are strong in some aspects of physical existence of human beings, you know, just in, for example, some aspects of body, this shows that society is not very mature. Because humanity is not just body. If for us the most important people are the people who are strong in, for example, the muscles, or, you know, in, you know, shooting or whatsoever, this means that our society has not reached above body. Okay? Anyway, in the time of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, magicians were very important, and magic was at its peak. So Allah gave Prophet Musa some sort of miracles that he could be superior to magicians. And it is very interesting that the first people, the very first people who accepted miracle of Musa alayhi salam were the magicians. Why? Because as we say in Farsi, قدر زر زرگر شناسد. The person who knows the value of jewelries is the one who sells jewelries. Ordinary people may not know that much the value of jewelry. Those magicians were the first to appreciate the miracles of Musa, because they realized that this is by far greater than their capacity. And it is more interesting that these people were so totally changed that in just few minutes they became pure Muslims, to the extent that they were prepared for any sort of punishment by Fir'aun. Because when they believed in Musa alayhi salam, Fir'aun says, إِنَّهُ لَكَبِيرُكُمُ الَّذِي عَلَّمَكُمُ السِّحْرِ. Fir'aun said, this is your master magician, and you have made all this, you know, a game. So now what I do, I will punish you, but very severely. لَأُصَلِّبَنَّكُمْ فِي جُزُوءَ النَّخْلِ. I will crucify you. You know, crucifixion was a habit. So these people who were very much praised up to a few minutes ago, they were very close to Pharaoh. They had lots of money and, you know, power and anything. And then in few minutes, they so much changed that when Pharaoh said, I will punish you and kill you, they said, very simple thing, لا ضير إنا إلى ربنا منقلبون. No problem. We have changed. We have turned towards our Lord. So beautiful. If someone sincerely believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in 5 minutes he can finish everything. He can solve all the problems. If it's sincerity, if sincerity is there, everything will quickly be finished. Our problem is that we lack sincerity. So, you know, we are sometimes, you know, inclined towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes inclined towards Fir'aun or people like Fir'aun. And then this is why it takes long time, because we are not making, you know, right path. Going forth, coming back, forth back, forth back. But if someone is sincere, just goes directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in 5 minutes. And you know, like Hur. Hur ibn Yadid, how long it took him to be so close to Ahlul Bayt? More than few minutes? No. But for me, maybe 50 years, 60 years, and in the end, I don't know even if I reach or not. So sincerity is very important. And for you youth, this is the best time that you can, you know, invest on having this sincerity and honesty, inshallah. Okay. The Prophet Isa alayhi salam had these miracles of curing ill people. Some people who were blind, the Prophet Isa was able to cure them and make them, you know, able to see. Some people had some problem, some disease in their skin, he cured them. Why? Because at that time, medicine was very important and at the peak. And everyone, especially the physicians, knew that this is not a human act. It is true that they saw it in hands of Jesus, Isa alayhi salam. But they knew that this must be originated from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So when you recite the verses of the Quran, please be with me here, please. When we recite the verses of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses Isa alayhi salam. Says, وَإِذْ تَخْلُقُ مِنَ الطِّينِ كَهَيْئَةِ الطَّيْرِ فَتَنْفُخُ فِيهِ فَيَكُونُ طَيْرًا بِإِذْنِي. Remember, when you make out of clay something like bird, in form of bird, then you blow into it, then it becomes a real bird, with my permission, with my blessing. The term which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used here is takhluqu. You create something like bird from clay. But this creation is creation in its more general, in its broad sense. This is not creation out of nothing, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says, minatin, from clay. So the clay was there. Isa alayhi salam just made it like a bird, then blew into it. Okay? And said, bi'izni. What is important is that Isa alayhi salam was not himself able to do this. It was with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one way of using the term khalq or creation. But in the sense we use it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the sense I said, we believe in Tawheed in khaliqiyya, in creatorship, it means to create something without any pre-existing material. This is exclusive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And then we have at-tawheed fir-rububiyyah. Monotheism in respect to lordship. You are familiar with the term Rabb. You have said Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. What is the meaning of Rabb? We say Lord, huh? What does it mean? Yes.
The one who has nourished you, taken care of you your whole life, brought you to
peace. Yeah. The same thing you wanted to mention. Rabb means someone. Please be very careful. Rabb means someone who has entire control over you. Someone who has authority over you. Someone without whose permission you cannot survive. This is the meaning of Rabb. And this is something which is implied by creatorship. If Allah is your creator, so He must be your Lord. Because there is no point in saying that whatever I have is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then my master is Fir'aun. My master is, you know, Namrud. If whatever I have is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so who has control over me? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Lord for all human beings, for all intelligent beings, for even non-intelligent beings. Whatever is there, Allah is its Lord. We say in the Quran, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. What does it mean? Allah is the Lord of all intelligent beings, whether human beings, jinns, angels, maybe even things that we don't know. Some people mistakenly translate Alameen into universes. They think Alameen is plural form of Alam, but this is not true. Alameen in Arabic looks like plural, but it's not plural form. Alameen means those inhabitants of the world who have capacity to understand. So it means understanding beings. This is the meaning of Alameen. But from other verses of the Quran, you understand that Allah is even Lord of those things that do not understand. I don't know if you have heard the story of Abdul Muttalib. When Abraha attacked Mecca to conquer Mecca. Yeah, you know the story of Ashab al-Fil. So, Abraha set up his camp outside Mecca. And one of the things his army did, that it was, they confiscated all the cattle, you know, camels and sheep of the people of Mecca. And they were getting ready to attack Masjid al-Haram. Abdul Muttalib, who was at that time keyholder of Masjid al-Haram and grandfather of the Prophet Muhammad, you know him, he went to visit Abraha. And he was so respected and so, you know, I could say, honored person, that everyone who saw him had to, you know, somehow be respectful to him. Anyway, he went to see Abrahe, and Abrahe thought that he has come to request him to withdraw from his plan, not to attack in Mecca. So he was preparing, you know, some answer for this. But what Abdul Muttalib asked Abrahe was different. Abdul Muttalib told Abrahe, "Your army, your soldiers, have confiscated my cattle, my camels. Please ask them to give me back." Abrahe said, "I thought a person with such dignity and honor has come here to ask me something bigger, and that is to protect Masjid al-Haram." Do you know what what Abdul Muttalib said? Yeah, he said, "Ana Rabbul Ibl walil Bayt Rabbu." Said, "I am the Lord of the camels." In what sense? Of course, the real Lord is Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. In the sense that now I am responsible for these camels. I have to feed them. I have to protect them. So this is my responsibility, and this is why I have come here to ask you to release my camels. But there is a Lord for this house, for Masjid al-Haram. And he is responsible for protecting Masjid al-Haram. Because Abdul Muttalib knew that it's beyond his capacity to protect Masjid al-Haram. And he was so submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that knew that Allah would protect this house. Although he was key holder, but he knew that it is beyond his capacity. So you shouldn't take Abdul Muttalib wrong and say, "Okay, in future I would say the same. I just look after my own life and properties and leave Islam and Mazhab Ahlul Bayt to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." No, you must do what is within your capacity and within your, you know, capabilities. And the rest can be left to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abdul Muttalib had no army to be able to defend Masjid al-Haram. And then it was only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to defend. Because, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, "Lawla daf'u Allah an-nas ba'dahum bi-ba'd lahuddimat sawami' wa bi'un wa masajid." Allah says, if it were not the case that Allah defeats some people by other people, then all the places of worship, including churches, synagogues, mosques, all would have been destroyed. So you see, Allah says he protects these places with other people. So don't get, you know, Abdul Muttalib wrong, then it will cause lots of problems. His point was this, that now that I cannot do anything to protect Masjid al-Haram, at least I must protect my camels. And then there is someone who is Lord of Masjid al-Haram, and he has the power, and he knows how to defeat you. Okay? So the meaning of Rabb is someone who has control, superiority, authority over something. And we believe that because Allah is the creator of everything, so Allah is the Lord of everything. Okay? So this is something also very important. There are some other dimensions of At-Tawheed in response to divine act. I think that's enough for us because our time is very limited. So we finished At-Tawheed in respect to divine essence, okay? At-Tawheed Fazzat. Then in respect to divine attributes, Fassafat. Then in respect to divine acts, and I said this can be subdivided into At-Tawheed fil-Khaliqiyya, in creatorship. At-Tawheed fil-Rububiyya, in lordship. It can be also into ownership, but I don't go into further details. Inshallah, for the next summer maybe. And then we have At-Tawheed in respect to worship. This is very important. We only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But not just that. We worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we believe that the only thing that is worthy being worshipped is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because sometimes you may worship something, but you may think that there are other things that can be also worshipped. We believe the only one who is qualified, who is worthy, who deserves to be worshipped is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the level below which no one is considered to be monotheist, muwahhid. If you have all those things that we mentioned up to now, if you believe that there is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing is like Him, He has no part, and you believe that His attributes are attributes of perfection and they are identical with His essence, and you believe that Allah is the creator of everything, everything which happens is act of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you don't worship Allah, or you worship idols or associate someone to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are not considered a muwahhid. Yeah? Look at Iblis, Satan. What was the problem with Satan? Didn't the Satan believe in At-Tawheed in respect to divine essence? He believed. Didn't he believe in Tawheed in respect to divine attributes? He believed. Maybe he knew that better than every philosopher or theologian. Didn't he believe in Tawheed in respect to creatorship? He believed. Why? Because, for example, he said, خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَار وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن تِين. He attributed creation of everything to Allah from Himself and Adam and him. And he was saying that, you are my Lord. رَبَّ بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي. Indeed, Shaitan or Satan or Iblis was even very radical. He was like Ash'arites in attributing everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes in the wrong sense, because he said, رَبَّ بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي. So his act of going astray and being misled is something for which he must be responsible. But he said, you have made me go astray. So he was very much, you know, interested in our idea of the Ash'arites, who would attribute everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not believe in human freedom. Okay? Because you know that someone asked about the mazhab of the Satan, and we know that Satan had no mazhab, but the person replied that in theology he looks to be very much close to Ash'ari way of thinking, and in fiqh he was very interested in qiyas. I don't mention name of any mazhab, but he was very interested in qiyas. Why? Because he was saying that you have created Adam from clay and created me from fire, and fire is more important than clay, so Adam must prostrate before me, not me prostrating before Adam. So this is qiyas. Anyway, Satan had no problem in all these kinds of tawheed. The problem was in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't have even problem in worshipping Allah as such. Because you know that for 6,000 years, he worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 6,000 years. And Imam Ali alayhi salam says, we don't know whether those years are years of this world or years of the other world. He doesn't say we don't know. He says it's not known. Means people don't know. وَلَا يُدْرَى means it's unknown to the people. Because you know, every day in Akhirah is 1,000 years here. إِنَّ يَوْمًا عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ كَأَلْفَ سَنَةٍ مِمَّا تَعُدُّونَ. Every single day of the hereafter is equal to 1,000 years. So Imam Ali says that the Satan worshipped Allah 6,000 years, and it's not known whether it was years of that world or this world. Anyway, at least suppose that 6,000 years of this world. It's not little. Yeah? If you, you know, calculate all the worships you have done, all the prayers, all the ziyarah, all the recitation of the Quran, I don't think in them it would be more than a year. Maybe you calculate up to tomorrow and then let me know. How many minutes every day, and then, you know, 50, 60 years, I don't think it would be even a year. 6,000 years he worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he had no problem in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What was the problem? Was that he had some limit. This is very important. Please be very careful. He said, I worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as long as my interests are secured. As long as I am satisfied. As long as I don't lose my honor and my pride. This was the problem. So he was prepared to worship Allah for another 6,000 years. Provided that Allah does not put him into this difficult test. You know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked to prostrate before Adam, according to some hadith, Iblis said, please exempt me from this, then whatever you say I will do. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, according to this hadith, this is very important. And this applies to me and maybe to some of you. That normally we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to worship him in the way that we think, you know, is appropriate. So Allah said, you want to worship me in the way that you are happy with, not in the way that I am happy with. And this is to lose the whole point in worship. The whole point in worship is to make your own desires, your own, you know, wishes in compliance with desires and wishes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? But the Satan was saying, please exempt me from this, and then whatever you say. It means whatever you say and I accept. Okay? This is the real sense. Whatever you say and I find it pleasing, I would do it. And you know what was the result. And this is also, unfortunately, applicable to many mu'mineen. Not as radical as Satan, but maybe to lesser degrees. Sometimes people, you know, don't perform their obligations and bring some excuses. We say, for example, you must observe your hijab. They say, hijab is the only thing that I cannot observe in this, you know, modern world. But whatever else Allah says, I will do. It's the same mentality of Satan. Sometimes, for example, we have it on the other side. For example, you know, there are some people who are traveling. They cannot fast. You tell them, you know, you must not fast. They say, I cannot stop, you know, fasting. It's month of Ramadan. How can I, you know, eat and drink? Are you fasting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or to please yourself? If you are fasting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah himself says that when you are traveling, when you are ill, and this is harmful for you, you cannot fast. So if you are fasting, not only you are not obeying Allah, but also you are disobeying. If you make the intention of fasting, this is haram. So you see, in different ways, we fail. Sometimes we don't obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we obey too much. And this is disobedience. If Allah says, you know, you must, for example, go 10 steps further. If you go 11 steps or 9 steps, the result is the same. If there is, for example, a treasure and you have instruction that you must go, for example, 100 meters towards the north and then 50 meters towards east, and then you must dig for example, 60 meters. If you make some differences and you say, okay, I want to do ihtiyat. Instead of 100 meters, I go 200 meters because I want to be precautious. Instead of 50 meters to east, I go 60 meters. This ihtiyat doesn't work. You must literally and word by word take the instruction from the Allah, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from the Prophet. And this is what the Prophet said, that whatever makes you closer to heaven, I have asked you to do it. And whatever makes you far and more distant from hell, I have asked you not to do. Just you must take this instruction, مَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. Inshallah, tomorrow we will continue and finish also, of course, our discussion about Tawheed, but we will continue our discussion about Tawheed in respect to worship and obedience. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
Allah had ordered the angels to bow down to Adam, but Iblis was a jinn. He could have easily told Allah that you told the angels and you didn't tell me to bow down to Adam, because it was not related to him. Because he's not an angel, so he didn't have to bow down to Adam. But then why did he say?
Yeah, you know, Iblis was a jinn, but because he worshipped Allah, you know, for a very long time, he was considered as one of angels. Not really an angel, but like one of angels. It's like, for example, you know, if you have a group of, for example, you know, Ayatollahs, and if there is an assistant to one Ayatollah who is always with him, when you invite that Ayatollah, you would invite also that person. When you, for example, offer food, you offer food for that person as well. Okay? So, Satan knew that this command is for him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala meant also him. And also, I have heard this in hadith, but I haven't seen myself, that when the angels knew that they would be soon tested, okay, and there would be one person that who would fail, so the angels were very worried. So they all went to Satan to pray for them. So, oh, mashallah, you have worshipped Allah for 6,000 years. Could you please pray for us? And Satan was saying, yes, I will pray for you, no problem. Because I am praying for you, you will pass the test. And he had no fear about himself. And then, in the end, the one who failed was Iblis himself. So, no one should, you know, take it for granted that I, you know, will definitely pass all the tests. And this is why we must always be worried about our end. If inshallah Allah gives us good end and inshallah we die with faith, that would be the best thing. Okay, the final, yes.
You said that Shaitan had worshipped Allah for 6,000 years.
Yes.
Will he ever get his reward for it? Will he come to heaven or?
Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not ignore any single act of obedience that some person has done, even humanitarian acts. But the reward would be proportionate to what has been done. For example, if someone does not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and does something good for humanity, still he will get reward, but not in Akhirah, because he does not believe in Akhirah. In this world, because this is the most he is concerned with, this world. Okay? So in this world he would get reputation or whatsoever. If someone believes in Akhirah and does something which is very wrong to the extent that causes this person to be go to hell, so the reward may be either decrease in punishment or limitedness of punishment to the extent that after certain time being in hell then can be go to sent to heaven. But someone like Iblis, of course there is no chance to go to heaven for some, because Iblis, as I said, didn't meet all the requirements of being a muwahhid. Okay? Being a real mu'min, a real believer. Because he didn't have this tawhid in respect to worship. But if someone is mu'min and has committed sins, either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him or will cause some problems for him in this world or when he's dying or in barzakh, or even sometimes he goes to Jahannam, and then when he's purified, finally he goes to heaven. So this is a good tiding that no mu'min forever remains in Jahannam. But the problem is that even being in Jahannam for 1 hour is something that you cannot, you know, imagine. Okay, thank you very much. Inshallah, tea will be served soon.